I don't know about many of you in here, but I know sometimes for myself that I have maybe wanted somebody to help me walk, you know, to hold out a hand and pick me up and maybe not push me down like the sister or brother did. But sometimes we can also feel like that, right? Like we just kind of get pushed around and, oh, we need to get back up again. Lord, extend your hand and help me up. And isn't that what we learned in the book of Ephesians? We learned how to walk. We heard a lot about walking, to walk in love, to walk in wisdom, to walk in unity, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And gosh, in just so many ways, to walk in the light, in the character of the new man. So Lenya is not able to be here this evening. She's actually out of town. So I'm just briefly, and she loves you all, and she wishes she could be here. So know that. She loves to be here, loves testimony night, and loves what we hear from the ladies who share. But she is not able to be here. So I'm just going to briefly just sum up Ephesians and what we learned this semester. And hopefully we can just walk out of here encouraged tonight and just excited to walk with the Lord and to get busy for Him, okay? So what I'm basing this on is some of you purchased this. We've been selling this at our product table, so it's called Sit, Walk, Stand, and it's based on the book of Ephesians. The author is Watchman Nee, and I was just really, to me, it was just really profound truths. And so if you want to get this today, you can. This is not a sales pitch, but it is $3 today. So if you want to do that. Well, so in the book, the author, he teaches us three different postures of sitting, walking, and standing. So, and what those things mean. So basically, he teaches that you cannot walk and you cannot stand unless you first know how to sit. So to sit, we'll look at first, is to sit, ladies, is to know our position in Christ, our identity in Him. So who are we in Christ? We are saved. We are saved by the blood of the Lamb. Right? We are redeemed. We believe in Jesus Christ and who He is and what He did. So sitting, we have to get to a place where we just know that we know who we are. And you are not who you are. Your identity in Christ is not based on anything you have done. So we did not merit forgiveness of ourselves. We did not merit receiving the Holy Spirit of ourselves. Everything, sitting has everything to do with what the Lord Jesus did for us. So the author says, I'm just going to quote, sitting describes our position with Christ in the heavenlies. Walking is the practical outworking of the heavenlies, of our heavenly position here on earth. So Ephesians 1, I'm going to read you a couple of verses. We went over these this semester. Ephesians 1:20 says that He raised Him, Jesus, from the dead, and He made Him to sit at His right hand in heavenly places. But then if you read on to Ephesians 2, verses 6 through 9, it says that God raised us up with Him, us, all of you, and made us sit with Him in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of any of our works, so that none of us could boast. That is who we are in Christ. So as a believer, again, we have to learn who we are and be so confident in this that then we can get up and we can start walking. So what he says, his name again is Watchman Nee, but he says the secret of a believer's strength is he knows how to rest. He knows how to sit. Okay, so keep that in mind. Sometimes we think we're successful when we're just moving and about busy doing things. So I just want to show you visually that some of you might use these. Some of the girls here that work and staff, they use these when they're working and typing at the computer. And some of you that exercise know about these balls, that if you sit on them, you know, when you're doing different activities, that you start getting really strong in your core. You know, you start getting a lot of strength. It enables you to get up and to run, to have better posture. It helps your back, supports your back. So this is just to demonstrate to you that sitting, we need to get strong in our core so that we can move on to the next thing, which is walking. So to walk is to make progress, to proceed, to follow on, to press towards a goal. But we must be wise on how we do it. We have to choose how to walk. And you ladies learn this. Ephesians 5:15 through 17 says, Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. So that would mean that everyone in here is able to know the will of the Lord. And I think Natalie just shared encouraging us that we can do that. We can know our calling. We can move forward and we can press on into that if our eyes are on Jesus. And again, that we know how to sit. We know who we are. We know our identity in Christ. And I just want to encourage you ladies to read through on your own time, Matthew 25. It's verses 1 through 13. But it talks about the wise and the foolish virgins. The five wise ones were ready for the bridegroom. They were ready for him to come. They were being wise about their daily choices. But the foolish ones were not ready when he came because they were too busy doing whatever it is that they were doing. So we have to be wise, consider the time. The wise ones knew that time was of the essence, so we have to do that as well. In Ephesians 5:18, we were told not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So again, it's a choice that as we're seeking to walk with the Lord and walk in his, in this fullness, we will put off the other stuff. We can get clear and know what the will of God is, to be filled with the Spirit and to make the most of our days, to make the most of our time. So the Lord has chosen us ladies to go into our homes with our families, our children, into the workplace, even with each other. As we come here to Bible study, he has chosen us and wants us to get out there and walk and to be the salt and light of the earth. But again, I'm going to say that the author says the secret of a believer's strength is that he knows how to rest. So he knows how to sit. So again, to sit is that you are saying, I am a redeemed child of God. I am saved. The Lord's blood has cleansed me, has cleaned me. I have no guilt on me. I have no shame on me. I am the apple of his eye. Nothing can separate me from his love. So you're getting stronger and stronger as you just meditate on these truths. And then you can get up and you can say, okay, I'm going home. I'm going into the workplace. I'm coming here to Bible study. Now I have the strength and the energy to pour into other people and to be the salt and light of the earth like I am told to be, because I know that I know who I am. All right. Are you guys hearing me? Are you? Yes. Okay. So that's to sit, to walk, and the next thing is to stand. And to stand, ladies, is that we have to be prepared for conflict. That's what standing is. We have to be prepared for conflict. If we think there is not any, we're foolish. I'm going to read another quote from the book. We must know how to sit with Christ in heavenly places, and we must know how to walk worthy of him down here on earth, but we must also know how to stand before the foe. If we are deficient in sitting or walking, then we will find that we talk about spiritual warfare, but we never know its reality. Satan can afford to ignore this kind of Christian. Yet, it's the very same Christian that can be made strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Romans 8:37 says that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Therefore, we can stand. Ephesians 6 talked to us about standing as well. We can know who we are. We can know that we fight from a place of victory and not for it. Standing is simply a position of holding our ground because it's already ours. We need to get excited about that and know it's already ours. Victory is already ours. And we need to stop walking around defeated, because you are not. None of you in here are defeated. So if we're not willing to sit and then we're not willing to walk, you will never, ever be able to do this and stand before your enemy. You will completely, quickly fall. And I'm sure many of you, including myself, have experienced that from time to time. Ultimately, we can do nothing apart from Jesus, ladies. And he tells us that in John 15:5, that you can do nothing apart from me. But again, I just love this principle in the book, because as you are getting stronger in your core, ladies, again, you know who you are in Christ. It has to start here. You have to rest here in this position. I am saved. I am a redeemed child of God. There is no sin, no guilt, no condemnation on me. I am the apple of my Father's eye, and He will never leave me or forsake me. He is for me, not against me. You have to know those truths. And then you get up and you go into the home, the workplace, here with each other, with difficult people, with family, social events that you have with extended family. Then you go, you're confident, your core is getting stronger, and you're able to minister to people, to just shine the light of Jesus, to be the salt and the light. And then you simply are able to stand against your enemy, knowing victory is already yours because you become so confident in God and who you are because you know how to sit. So I just want to encourage you ladies that just to remember that and just to get out there, know these truths, know who you are. If you don't know the first thing, you can't do the other things. So if that's you, just please take care of that tonight. Fellowship with somebody, talk to somebody, and share that with them so that we can help you. We can help one another, and we can move it along and get busy for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, ladies. Here, Tracy, I'll give this back to you. Okay. So ladies, if you want a testimony, ladies, if you want to line up, we're just going to hear from some of the ladies now and hear how the Lord has just done a work in their lives. And we have been praying for all of you. And we just believe the Lord's going to do so much to minister to all of you tonight. So, all righty. Let's start with, who are we starting with? Elaine. All right.
Well, I've been praying for boldness this year, and I think that's why I'm standing here. God, help me. Yay. So, well, good evening, ladies. I was saved about 25 years ago, but my very first time at She Ministry was about 6 years ago. And I really failed at it. I got busy, and I decided not to stick it out after one session. So about 4 years later, I thought, how can I do this? I'll go back, and I invited a friend with me so that I had someone to have company with and hang out with. And that worked out. It kept me here, and I did my Bible study, but I didn't get to meet other women. So in the fall of 2015, I took another leap and came all by myself, and I'm happy to say that I met several amazing women that I call sisters, who pray for me, who know my needs and I theirs, and it's been a huge blessing. So the study of Ephesians is powerful in itself, but the homework, or I should say doing the homework, really made the difference for me. I used to think, come on, God, you know how busy I am. How will I ever manage spending 30 minutes a day just sitting down? But as always, God knew better. He disciplined me. He helped me to figure out a way to carve out the time. I actually felt Him tell me, when you do that, I'll give you 25 hours in a day. And He was faithful indeed. From that obedience over the last year, my relationships blossomed with family, friends. Boldness came. My marriage grew leaps and bounds. My business quadrupled. Don't get me wrong. I didn't do this for the blessings, nor did I even know that they would be coming to me. It was just given to me after I trusted Him to always take care of me. So I love my daily time sitting and talking to God. He guides me. He loves me. He comforts me. I now have that smile again that comes from the peace of knowing Him intimately and putting His word in my heart and on my mind. So ladies, I encourage you to give Him that 1 hour a day and do your homework. You won't regret it. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So encouraging, right, ladies? And I love this testimony because it's just so much praise and glory to God. Amen. Like He just does so much for us in our lives when we put Him first. And so thank you for starting us out with praise and thank you. Thank you. All righty. Ginger's coming up. Yay, Ginger. Hi, sweetie.
My testimony is more of a personal design. Earlier this year and year before, me and my husband have been very disconnected, and we've been having disagreements, mostly because we're new parents and raising a our son has been a little difficult knowing how to raise him and how to, for myself, resist control of the situation, because I didn't, for me, it's more of like raising him for that he doesn't have to do it, because he's providing for the family, he's doing other things, and he's not used to children. But with this study, I've learned to ask for the help that I needed, and show the love and kindness that I needed to show my husband. As it says in Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. I wasn't giving that to my husband, mostly because I thought I could control everything with raising my son. And I needed to take a step back and know what my husband was actually saying and listen to him, saying that he actually does stuff around the house. And we've become closer with knowing that God has been pulling on my heart to give my husband more time and showing him that I love him in different ways than just being intimate or discussing stuff, because we've had long conversations at night and doing our devotions, and we needed that, and it was our bond with Christ at the center. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies, I just want to ask, thank you for sharing. That's a really vulnerable place to share. And I know that for many, there are just struggles that go on with a marriage, within a marriage. And it's a continual submitting, like you said, and not that I'm married right now, but, you know, it's that continual submitting and making, I love that you said making time for him. Mm-hmm. And I just want to ask you ladies that if there's anyone here tonight, that if you just need prayer for your marriage, if you need to let go of some control, like Ginger said, I just want to ask that you would just raise your hand, and we just want to pray for you. We want your marriages to be healed. And I love the teaching that Lenya taught us this semester about submitting and even relinquishing that control, right? Mm-hmm. And he wants to build up marriages, and I love its obedience. I love Elaine even shared we were praising the Lord with that, but her marriage grew. So just simply raise up your hand, and we're just going to pray for you. Amen. I see you. Amen, ladies. All over the room. So we're just going to pray for you. Father, I thank you for Ginger's courage. I thank you for her being vulnerable and sharing about her marriage. Thank you, Father, for that. And thank you for your Spirit who ministers to the women that are listening. And Father, I just pray for each hand that was raised, and even the ones that weren't, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen marriages, help these women to relinquish control if that's what needs to happen in the home. Show them, give them practical steps that they can take to better love their husbands. Maybe it's giving them more time. Maybe it's just being that listening ear and not saying anything, Lord. You know what that is for each of the men. Father, so I pray that you would just make it known to the women that you would just rebuild, restore these marriages, and that you would just have your way be glorified in these marriages, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Okay, Joanne, I think is next. Yay, Joanne.
So this semester I wanted to share what God taught me through the book of Ephesians, which was honoring my mother and father and the riches of the blessings he has for us. So 4 years ago, my life changed. My father had a major surgery on his legs, hoping not to lose them. He was 93. Honoring my father and mother was one of the lessons God had for me. This last year was the most difficult. My parents are both very sharp. Balancing my life with theirs was challenging. Honoring them meant becoming their caregiver. Dad was in a nursing home while my mother still lived at home, both being 96 years old. My time was stretched thin. I battled anger, bitterness, and envy. My relationships were strained with my parents, my husband, and my siblings. Ephesians 2:10 states, I am God's workmanship in Christ to do good work, which he prepared in advance. I clothed myself in his righteousness and submitted to his will, honoring my father and my mother. God gave me an overwhelming peace, the one that transcends all understanding. God, in his preparation for what he had prepared me to do, allowed me to share with my parents what I was learning in the book of Ephesians. I was also able to share the good news with Dad's caregivers in the nursing home. He was preparing Dad for his journey home and my mom to be without him. Dad went home November 2nd, 2015. During this time, my daughter Hallie and her husband Mike shared that they were going to have a baby. Because of our family history of spina bifida, they decided to do extensive testing, only to learn that the baby showed in all the tests having the birth defect. The next 6 weeks of testing kept confirming the results. Our group laid hands on Hallie and the baby, praying for healing. On the 20th week, the ultrasound was different. No signs of separation in the spine. God healed our baby girl. She was born March 20th, 2016. She's perfect. The battles were fought in prayer, armed together in unity with my sisters, being clothed in his righteousness. The blessings, my father never got bed sores and died peacefully. He laid in bed for a whole year. I saw the healing power of God. God showed me how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, who is able to do immeasurably more than I could ask or think.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord for his goodness. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing. Stay here for just a second. Like Joanne, ladies, sharing tonight, I heard a couple different things, a few different things, but honoring our father and mother. And I know that there are many of you that have been even caregivers this year, and that it's been a hard thing. And we just thank you for you, ladies. We thank you for doing that. We thank you for taking care of your parents. So we're going to pray for you, and we just thank you for that. And also, I just want to ask if there's healing that's even needed in the room, that we can be bold, how bold to go to God and say to heal of spina bifida when these test results keep coming back. We can ask God, and he does do more than we can ever ask or think, and it's always greater than what we think. So if you are in need of healing tonight, I just want you to raise your hand for just a minute. We want to pray for you. Thank you. Keep your hand up for just a minute, because something Joanne said is about she had her sisters around her who would lay their hands on her and just pray. And they prayed over the baby's mama and, you know, the results. So if somebody is sitting next to you with a raised hand, just lay your hand on them, please. Thank you. So, Father, first I just want to I just want to pray for the people that are in here who have been caregivers, Lord, and maybe who still are caregivers, Lord. And it is a difficult and painful thing. And, Father, I just ask, I ask that you would just bless them, too, and help them. Joanne mentioned having anger or bitterness or sometimes getting resentful, Father. I just ask that you would help them to overcome, help them to serve the way that you want them to serve, and help all of us in here to honor our mother and father, Lord. Help us to do that. And, Father, we thank you for your healing power. We thank you that you are the God who heals. And Father, right now, for all these women who are having hands laid on them, who raise their hands, Father, I just pray whatever is going on in their life, you know it and you know it well. You are Elroy. You are the God who sees us. You see them and you see their circumstance. And I just pray, Father, for amazing, miraculous healing. And we don't ask this for ourselves. We ask this because we want you to be glorified. We want more people to hear these testimonies so that many would come to know you. So use these women, encourage them, show them amazing things, and give us more testimonies to just praise and glorify your name, Lord. Fill these ladies with your joy so that the joy of our great God would be their strength. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. Teresa's next, I think. Sorry, it's hard to see. Oh, you good? I know. Yeah.
Hi, everybody. That was a hard act to follow. My story is my journey of how I came to be at this Bible study. I was raised in another church by European immigrant parents, and so our church was really our culture, our family culture. When I found myself divorced, and my kids were 3 and 1, that was a hard time. But I threw myself into raising them as a single mom and a full-time nurse. And I got very involved in the church. They went to our church's school, and I was involved in the ministries at school and at church. Fast forward to high school, and I reconnected with an old family friend, and long story short, 4 years later, we were married. But then, lo and behold, I learned that I was no longer welcome to participate in any of those church ministries. That because I had remarried outside of the church without sort of erasing the first marriage, I was living in sin and causing anybody that I came into contact with to be in sin as well. I felt embarrassed, ashamed, unworthy, and kind of betrayed. So my husband and I intermittently would go to services, but I started to try to find other ways to feed myself spiritually. Christian radio, I listened to Skip all the time, home-based Bible studies, and I began to pray and ask God to help me, lead me to a new church home, if that was his plan. And then my friend Johanna invited me to this Bible study. Sorry. And then the first night it came, the worship just filled my spirit, and the being in the Word with Lenya was just so great, and my small group was so welcoming and loving, and my leader Angie was wonderful, and I just felt welcomed. I felt like I didn't have to be ashamed anymore. So I went home and I looked up everything on the website that I could find, and I thought, what ministries could I volunteer in? And you know, then the enemy told me, they don't want you. You know, you're leftovers from another church. They wait till they hear your story. They're not going to want you. And so I just tried to push that away. And I looked forward to every Tuesday. And it all kind of came to a head when Lenya spoke about the Honor Society for Sisters, Christian women, and that we all are part of the body of Christ. And when one of us is missing, the body isn't whole, and that she loved us and we belonged here. And I felt like she was speaking to me, and I wanted to run up on the stage and throw my arms around her, but I controlled myself. And when I shared with my small group that night, all I heard was, we're glad you're here. We love you. You're here where you belong. And I felt so hopeful. And so I just want to say thank you. And I'm a work in progress, but I'm really filled with abundant hope that I can grow my faith here at Calvary.
Oh, man. So good. So good. Oh, that one just really gets me, because I think that we can all sometimes feel so alone. And we can think that we're not seen, and that nobody cares. And if that's you tonight, we really need to pray for you, because you need to know that you are part of the body of Christ. We are not one of us is better than the other. Amen. We need to stand together and we need to battle this out. And we need to be here for one another. So if that's you, just raise your hand if you have felt this way and you feel this way right now sitting in here. Thank you. All over the room. Okay, we're going to pray for you. Father, I just even ask that you would forgive us if ever we as a church or we as a ministry have made anybody to feel alone. And that we have made anybody to feel less than, Father, because you have no favorites. And you love us all the same, and you love us all unconditionally. So I just pray for healing in these hearts. I pray, Father, that you would bring along godly friends. I pray that if these women who raise their hands are involved in a small group, Lord, that they will meet somebody, even just one, in that small group who they can be close to and have fellowship with and love on one another with. I pray that you'd provide her just so many godly sisters, a circle where she can share what she needs to share and be vulnerable. And that you would just be glorified in these relationships, Lord. You know that we need other people to help us, to hold us up, to keep us accountable, Lord. So please do a mighty work in each of these lives. Comfort these ladies. Wrap your arms around them ultimately. And help us, every single one of us in here, to recognize each other, to give a smile, to hug on one another, to love on one another, Lord. We love you and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Beautiful. Go ahead, Katrina. Okay, this is Katrina. Applause for Katrina.
Hi, I'm Katrina, and I've been coming to She Ministry about 7 years. And I used to come and go and not do much of anything. And then my friend Victoria said, we need greeters for the Shimmer Conference. And I'm like, me? I'm not a perfect Christian. Why are you asking me? And she said, no, you don't got to be perfect. So I volunteered as a greeter. And then I worked the Shimmer Conference. And then I loved it so much that I volunteered to do the She Ministry greeters. And I've been coming every Tuesday morning and every Tuesday evening greeting all you beautiful women. And I just had the best time ever. I worked the serve table, the kiosks. And last January, I got the opportunity to serve in the Philippines at the Faith, Hope, and Love Kids Ranch with my idol, Lorraine Lamar. We were there for 3 weeks, and which was a miracle in itself because I'm terrified to travel. I'm terrified to travel out of Albuquerque, out of New Mexico, and much less across the world to the Philippines. But when God tells you to go, you go. And so this year, I volunteered again in the She Ministry, and about a month ago, they said, we're planning a trip to the Philippines. I'm going to go with Gary Maboob from the Friends of the Fatherless, the Orphans Exchange, and we're going to go to the Philippines to the Faith, Hope, and Love Kids Ranch again and see all the children again. And we're going to be there for about 2 weeks. And after that, Gary is hosting a conference in Maui for all the directors of the orphanages from around the world. And so all the directors are going to be there in Maui, and we're going to go there, and we're going to serve the heroes of the faith, all of the directors of the orphanages. And so it's just like by serving, God has blessed me through this ministry. And I want to tell you, girls, you don't have to be a perfect Christian to serve.
That's right.
And
that's right.
I also want to say that when you do serve, that you're going to get attacked. And that's why this teaching this year was on point. You need that armor of God because you have those fiery darts coming at this side, but you know what? God is a victor and he brings you out of it. I have tears of sorrow and then I have tears of victory, and it's just the weirdest feeling because I know when it says count it all joy when you have trials and tribulations, because believe me, you're crying because you're getting these arrows, but then God shows himself to be true, to be faithful, and to know his promises.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you for the encouragement. What great exhortation for all of us tonight. One last thing, ladies, if the Lord is calling you to something new right now in your life, a new place that he's taking you to, and we've heard this a few times already tonight, and it came through Natalie's exhortation as well. If he is calling you to something new, calling you out and showing you what that calling is, would you just raise your hands? We're going to pray for you. Amen. So many. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You want to pray for these ladies?
Sure. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these women coming and giving their testimonies, Lord, and for these women that are going to go out and put away the caterpillar and become a butterfly. I've been having butterflies on my mind, and Lord, you have a whole new life for us with you by our side, and you want us not to be caterpillars but to be butterflies, because you want us to show your light and your salt and bring joy and your gospel from to whoever, to your kids, to your husband, to your coworkers, to your neighbors. You don't have to go across the world to be a butterfly. You can just, wherever you go, Lord, whatever God puts in your heart, don't be afraid. And you will get those fiery arrows, but come back to this chapter, come back to this study, and God will pull you out of it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Katrina.